pyroclastic flow. You know my pyroclastic flow, flow, flow. You know my pyroclastic flow. It's R-A-W.
What's up, guys? It's your boy Wiz here with the crew, Devin and Hunter. We got an awesome, awesome installment for you guys today. We got a hot seat and a little bit of something called Whom's Mans. It's back again. You know what, guys? It's going to be a good one. Devin's back this week. Excited to have him back.
Whom's man is Devin?
I'm back, baby.
Whom's man is Devin? That's
I'm
true.
Back, baby.
Ready He's to back. Rumble. Welcome back, Devin. 1 week hiatus.
Oh,
we
yeah.
Get Tabo in. It's a good thing you were here because we had an interview fall through. Luckily for the listeners, we had another interview come up, so you can stay tuned for that. We're going to talk a little bit of Utah State Aggie football. Something we don't normally talk a lot about. I don't think we really ever have mentioned Utah State on this show. Want to show some love to Utah State. Want to show love to the Aggies, the school I attended for a semester, then moved on to bigger and we'll say better things.
We can say better things.
Better things.
Better things is smart.
Sure. Because of Salt Lake.
Right.
Not because of the school.
Whatever.
Utah State is a school, great. Logan is a town, great for a couple months.
Yeah, you just get lonely out there.
Yeah.
Then you get lost in 5 feet of snow and don't know what to do, right?
There's just more happening in Salt Lake, we'll say.
It's always
more
poppin'.
More to do. more opportunities. Worked out great for me, but it's working out great for our guy, P. Kurt, Preston Curtis, wide receiver for the Utah State Aggies. It's working out great for him and Logan, so happy for him. We're going to talk to him coming up here in just a little bit. But first, like Alex was saying, we got some segments to get to. We got Hot Seat. It's cooling down in Logan. It's cooling down here in Salt Lake. It hasn't quite been 100 degrees. But as the temperature changes and cools down, some of the seats start to get hotter.
Usually.
And especially in the football world, college football world. So we're going to talk about some hot seats.
Sizzling. Devin, I'm sizzling.
Devin, that's been the hot seat because you were there. Then the next week, Tabo was there. Now the next week, Tabo's gone again. You're back.
I'm
so
on the hot
that kind
of
seems to be the hot seat over there. So
really
why don't you
does.
Kick it off for us?
I think I burned a hole in my pants.
Just a little
that's
bit.
Not good.
Just a little one.
So my hot seat, how I got this hot seat was I was talking to kind of a coworker today, and they're a huge Dolphins fan.
What, is it a homeless guy?
No.
Oh.
No homeless guys.
Well, because some of your coworkers are homeless people.
They are.
Yeah, that's true.
I could go on for hours with stories about that. But anyway, I'll get to the hot seat.
All right.
My hot seat, speaking about the Dolphins, is Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, really?
You'd think his seat would be cool coming back from injury.
You think
they
so?
Saw how bad Jay Cutler was.
Right, but
doesn't have up
when
to live up to.
When are they gonna move on from him? Like he's been so mediocre. He's supposed to be this great, great quarterback for the Dolphins, bring them to the top. But you know, he had the weapons to do it on his offense, but he hasn't performed.
Well, has Tannehill even had a full year under his belt? Like a full season? I feel like he has.
Yeah.
How many? Just one? He's been hurt a lot.
He's been a couple.
Yeah, he's been hurt a lot,
I'll look it up.
Yeah, because I feel like, I don't know,
I think he's on the hot seat. I think the Dolphins will give him one more year to perform, and then they're going to have to move on for the better of their future and to get someone that's going to step up in big situations. Because he has the athleticism, and he's a great quarterback mechanically and athletically, but he's just not showing up to the extent that I'm sure they want him to.
So, joke's on us, he's played 4 full seasons.
Seriously?
What am I saying?
4 full seasons, one season that was 13 games. So, almost pretty much 5 full seasons.
Okay.
7-9, 8-8, 8-8, 6-10, 8-5.
Yeah, so I guess I could agree, because at this point, if you have a season that's anything less than, like, you know, 8 or 9 wins, you're gone. They're going to be looking
somewhere
else. And
no Jay Ajayi.
Yeah,
trade to the Eagles.
Yeah,
no
Jarvis Landry.
Nope.
Trade to the Browns.
You did get... what's his bucket from the Patriots?
Amendola.
My
guy. Danny.
Good old Danny. But, I mean, they don't really have a lot.
You
I
do
mean,
have
they
Isaac
have,
Asiata.
But what I mean
they
is...
They have Drake, that running back. He's actually pretty decent.
Drake.
Yeah, he's
In some
Drake.
Of those seasons, he's had some weapons offensively.
Right.
And he's not used them enough.
Yeah, it's not like he's been playing with bums. Like, defensively, they haven't been fantastic.
Their defense really has never been that good.
Dan Marino never had a defense there, and look where he took him.
Yeah, but Dan
Tom
Marino's
Brady
Dan.
Didn't have a defense last year. Yeah. Look where
exactly.
He took him.
But again, we're talking about Dan Marino.
I know
and
that.
Tom
and
Brady.
Tom Brady.
I'm
so
saying
let's not try to
Dan
like
Marino
squeeze Tannehill into this.
Never
bit.
Had a running back. Never had a defense, and almost took him to the top a few times.
Keyword being almost.
Right, but he went a lot further than Tannehill.
He's just as good as Philip Rivers, is what you're telling me.
Who else is on the hot seat, speaking of NFL? Speaking of Tom Brady, hot seat is Tabo and his Philadelphia Eagles, currently down 27-7 in the first half to the New England Patriots. Tom Brady, 19 for 26, 172 yards, 2 touchdowns.
How many series did Brady play? 2?
It looks like he's been playing the whole game so far. Seriously? He didn't play it all the first game.
He's a baller, man.
That's crazy.
Touchdown
he's a freaking
catches
baller.
For James White and Chris Hogan.
Okay. So. Spreading the ball around.
But my
the
real hot seat.
T. Brady.
My real hot seat is Tanner Mangum, BYU quarterback.
There it is.
That's a good
now
hot
working
seat.
Amongst,
I agree with that.
Working amongst the ESPN 960 crew and the BYU guys, hearing a lot of chatter about the whole BYU quarterback situation, was down at practice last week. Had a scrimmage, BYU did last Saturday, came out, coaches raving about both Tanner Mangum and true freshman Zach Wilson. And then they had another scrimmage yesterday, and what I'm hearing right now is that Zach Wilson is looking like the guy.
I agree.
Which is news to BYU fans' ears, especially Devin.
It's great news to me.
Because they're big into Zach Wilson. Not a big Tanner Mangum guy. Tanner Mangum does look more athletic, looks more healthy. He's probably dropped 30 pounds.
That's good. Cause yeah,
great
he
for him.
A little stocky.
He was a stocky guy last year.
He also looks like he's about to poop his pants every time he hikes the ball.
Uh-oh.
Also true. Haven't
That's
seen him
good.
In live action yet. But just the fact.
Zach Wilson's the young guy, right? Isn't he a freshman?
True freshman. Okay. Just turned 19.
He's a baller.
Jeez.
But the fact that we are discussing a quarterback competition between a 25-year-old senior who's been with the program for 5 years and a true freshman who's been with the program for like 3 months doesn't bode well for Tanner Mangum. Now, they may be equal now in terms of skill level, but with the kind of time and experience that Tanner Mangum has under his belt, he should be light years ahead of an 18-year-old freshman who just graduated high school 3 months ago.
No, yeah, you would hope that's how it goes, but.
So I don't want to say that I will say that I personally think BYU should go with Zach Wilson. That's my pick. I think if you're BYU and you want to win as many games as you can, you go Zach Wilson, especially with the ceiling that he has. He has a much higher ceiling. If you're going to start him anyway, why postpone the inevitable? So I go Zach Wilson. I know Mitch Harper, BYU insider, goes Zach Wilson.
I also go
Devin
Zach Wilson.
Goes Zach Wilson. So Tanner Mangum's got to step it up here in the next couple of days if he wants to be the starter going into his senior year.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. That's for sure. Hot seat for me, guys. The Washington Redskins. I don't know if you heard just a little bit ago. Darius Geis.
Currently up.
Yeah, is he out for the season?
Currently up 6-3
on the Jets.
He's donezo.
Torn ACL.
Really?
He's out.
Wow, I missed that.
I know, right? Isn't that crazy?
I thought it was just an MCL.
Mm-mm. Tore his ACL. Wow. Preseason opener.
Were the Redskins even on any seat in general?
I mean, well, now they are. So I guess they needed it.
They're on a hot seat now.
They're on a hot seat now. But well,
And one thing I was thinking to have ACL surgery on Friday.
Yep, donezo. Also, notable player from the Washington Redskins that has also had this problem, Robert Griffin III. But granted, he made it through most of his rookie season, but then was sprained his ACL week 13, went to the playoffs, and that's where he outright blew it out and has never been the same since. I think we can all agree on that. But Redskins, since 2011, have drafted 13 players in the first or second round that have, in the preseason, been hurt and have missed most of, if not all, of that season. Isn't that crazy?
Injury bug.
Wow. It's just
Washington, man.
So look out. If you're getting drafted by the Redskins, you may be getting caught in some bad juju.
Check yourself. Yeah. Also, ESPN game tonight is Washington Redskins versus New York Jets, currently 6-3.
Yeah. I want to see my boy. I was just telling Devin just a second ago. I want to see my boy Fish Smithson get some good minutes.
For the Redskins.
I know. I want to see him step it up.
Jonah
that game is
BYU.
That game
we'll
is 6-3, nearly at halftime. The other two games not being shown on ESPN, Patriots-Eagles 27-7, Green Bay-Pittsburgh 27-14. So of all the three games that the ESPN could have chosen to air, they chose Washington versus New York.
Listen, man.
Rather than the Super Bowl rematch or Packers Pittsburgh.
I'd want to see Jamal Williams, my boy, ball out from BYU.
Let's see how he's doing right now.
He had a touchdown last game.
Jamal Williams, 2 carries, 2 yards.
Okay.
Ouch.
That was about it.
Hey, he had a big touchdown last game.
Amen.
He did. That he did.
He's worked his way up the charts.
Catches, 1 catch, 6 yards.
Nice.
So 3 touches for 7, 8 yards.
Heck yeah.
So.
Heck yeah, dude.
I mean, it's preseason.
That's lit.
So, next up. Whom's Mans.
Oh, Whom's Mans. I love it.
Return.
So much.
We haven't done Whom's Mans in quite a while.
It's been a minute.
It's been quite a while since we did Whom's Mans. We're going to kick it off. Alex, you seemed a little bit excited to get this going, so we're going to let you go first.
All right. So, I don't know if you guys heard. You guys know who Jack Buehning is of the Little League World Series?
Never heard of him.
Interesting.
Who does he play for?
He plays for this little place called Jackson Hole. But have you
ever?
But have you
heard? The Big Apple.
Yeah, but do you want to know who his favorite actor is?
Oh, this is photoshopped.
Yeah, but listen.
I know.
So they put it on there. Johnny Sins. Johnny Sins is an adult actor. A male adult actor. Right?
God bless that future generation.
So when I first read this, I was like, you've got to be kidding me, right? Fake news. I started reading it. I'm like, man, I was about to be like, man, who's kid? Man, whom's kid?
That was my son. I'd backhand him.
But then we're backtracking. We're gonna flip the script a little bit and go Whom's Man again, because the man who made this is the Big Heat Daddy. That's his Twitter handle, the Big Heat Daddy. Whom's Mans.
Interesting.
Come catch your boy, because that's not okay. And
it takes a special person to like Photoshop
for a 13-year-old
kid's bio.
Right?
Trying to make him seem like a freaking
weirdo. Did you guys see Johnny Sins like tweeted at it? Like,
no.
He was like, wow, I really hope this guy's just watching my vlogs instead of my other stuff. Like, I was just like, what? You've got to be kidding me. So yeah, man. Whom's Mans? The Big Daddy Heat.
Interesting to say the least.
It's crazy.
I don't even know how we're going to follow that up. Devin, I'm going to let you attempt to follow it up.
I'll attempt at it. We'll see. I have something a little bit less explicit.
That's right.
Good.
Than Johnny Sins.
Phew.
I bring it spicy.
You started at the top.
That's right.
See if we can get up there again. Mine, since we were talking about college football so much, is Bo's dad.
Merrill Hodge. I love how now the former NFL running back and also ESPN analyst is now just Bo's dad.
Yeah, I mean...
Bo's dad.
The nerve of that guy, just because he's mad because his son wasn't good enough to get the starting role quarterback.
Which, interesting, because I feel like Bo Hodge is better than Joe Critchlow.
Yes, yeah, but sitting there third string isn't going to do him any good.
Yeah.
His senior season. His junior
season. Well, he'll probably be third string.
Junior season, correct?
I believe
it's his junior season.
I want to say yes.
But I listened to the interview, and he was just going off on just some ridiculous points. I understand it's your son. I'd be a little bit mad if that happened to my son as well. But the things he was saying, just trashing the coaching staff, and the fact that they let that on BYU Sports Nation was my thing. Like, you think they wouldn't let that happen. But Bo came in and had quite the apology and made up for it. But that's just kind of...
Yeah, Junior.
Yeah, that's just kind of lame that his dad would do that so publicly.
Well, it is interesting because while I disagree with Merrill Hodge's platform and the way he went about it, he did raise some interesting points of, A, why is Ed Lamb, a defensive coach, talking to my son about switching positions on the offensive end? Like, if you're a quarterback and you're being told, hey, we're going to switch you from quarterback to running back, why are you being told by the defensive coordinator and not quarterback's coach, offensive coordinator, or head coach?
Valid. But you think I'm sure Merrill is a successful businessman after his many years in the NFL. You think he would have some a little bit more maturity?
Yeah, that's
that
what I'm
so
saying
publicly.
Is like I agree with your point about how he should have gone about it different.
Yeah,
he probably shouldn't have done that.
I can see the frustration. Like, that makes sense.
But interesting when you consider A, Ed Lamb is a defensive coach, and B, Ed Lamb is the one who said Joe Critchlow was the next Ty Detmer.
True.
And see Ed Lamb as the one who recruited Joe Critchlow. So Ed Lamb said recruited Joe Critchlow, said he was going to be the best BYU quarterback of all time, and then told one of the other quarterbacks who was competing for the starting job with Joe Critchlow, hey, you're going to switch positions.
Why is Critchlow a walk-on Lamb if he's going to be the best?
Well, it's just interesting when you look at it like that. Obviously, Ed Lamb is also the associate head coach, and I'm sure it was not Ed Lamb's decision because you don't just switch a guy's position without first consulting his position coach, the offensive coordinator, and finally the head coach needs to okay it. Because it's not like you're going to go to Bo Hodge and be like, hey, you're a running back now, and then at practice no one's going to notice.
Here's the deal too, though. At any time they can move him over to quarterback if they need him.
Yeah, I mean,
so it's not like everyone it's just goes completely down, shot.
Yeah, but
if you go through, because with the injuries that BYU
Mangum gets
has
hurt,
had,
then Wilson gets hurt, and then Critchlow gets hurt, and then Jaren Hall
Critchlow,
gets hurt, and then Bo Hodge.
That's one heck of a slide.
Critchlow doesn't get hurt, but just is completely blowing it if those other two go down.
Yeah.
Are they really going to look at Hall?
Jaren Hall's competing for third string.
Hopefully it doesn't get to that point. I really pray it does not get to that point.
Well, with recent years,
we're going to worst-case scenario.
I've seen quite a few BYU quarterbacks go down.
Yeah, it's been awful lately.
If I can remember correctly.
Anyway.
Whom's mans are the New York Mets.
Ooh. Yeah, that's right.
You're just going to cut them out as a team?
Just the whole team.
Just get rid
Whom's
of them.
Men's.
Whom's men?
2 weeks ago, the Mets lost to the Nationals by a score of 25-4. Today,
oh yeah,
the Mets, that same Mets team, beat the Philadelphia Phillies by a final score of 24-4.
Wow.
I saw that and I almost cried. I was laughing so hard. And you know what's funny? They play a doubleheader.
That is a 41-run swing.
That's crazy.
By one team in 2 weeks.
That's crazy.
You lost by 21, and then 2 weeks later, you won by 20.
That's crazy.
This is a team whose the pitcher, Jacob DeGrom, is probably the favorite to win the Cy Young Award, should be, probably the best pitcher in all of baseball, allowing less than 2 runs a game. The opposition is scoring less than 2 runs a game, and yet he does not have a winning record.
That's awesome.
Because no one on his team can score runs. And suddenly, against the NL East leading Philadelphia Phillies, they scored 24 runs. And like Alex was saying, they play again tonight. Actually interested to see what the score of that game is right now.
This is crazy. Could you imagine being the Phillies after that?
I mean, you'd feel bad.
We just got slapped.
But we need to step back and realize here these guys are still Major League Baseball players.
Right.
And it is currently 6-2 for the Phillies.
You're freaking kidding me.
There's some revenge.
You're freaking kidding me.
But these guys are all still on the Mets. They're still MLB baseball players. So they can still do their thing. They're
but
still very talented.
But a 41-run difference.
Ridiculous.
I realize that,
it is
but
quite the swing.
And how many games they play?
And the Phillies are a better team than the Nationals.
They're going to win. Yeah, the Phillies are a great team this year.
Yeah.
But every dog has his day.
But that's just like the beauty of baseball. Is 4 hours ago the Mets were leading 24-4, and here we are 3 hours later and the Mets are trailing 2-6 against the same team.
What inning?
The top of the sixth.
Oh my goodness.
Used up all their juice in the first game.
Apparently. Like, that's absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, that's just baseball. How can you not love it? How can you not love watching your team play 2 games in a single day and you lose by 20 runs and then 2 hours later you're winning by 4 runs? Like, it's fantastic.
That is fantastic.
And it's a different game. Not the same game. You're playing another game against the same team. I mean, if Ohio State played against Tulsa twice in a single day and Ohio State beat them by 40 the first time and then they turn around and it's halftime and Tulsa's up by 17.
That'd be crazy.
That'd be bizarre. But for baseball, it's just
Yeah, it's how it goes. Day. It's just another day. Another dollar.
But we're going to take a quick break. Hopefully we come back still as strong as we were to start out and we don't pull New York Mets and come out in the second half, the second game, and just totally drop the ball. But coming up next, we have our Preston Curtis, Utah State wide receiver interview. We're also going to preview some NFL talk. So you want to stay tuned for that.
crime side, the New York Times side. Staying alive was no
job. All right. Today we are welcoming on East High sophomore sensation Preston Curtis and now Utah State great wide receiver. Welcome, Preston.
Hey, thanks for having me, Pendleton.
Great. We, Hunter and I both know.
Pendleton's official now. Yeah. He's big time, if you, couldn't tell, Kurt.
Not as official as the sophomore sensation.
Like, he's come a long way since the days of East High baseball.
So I'm we've known Kurt for a while, going back to high school, and now he's, like I said, he's up at Utah State, and we're happy to have him here, and we just have a few questions for him, and we thank him for taking some time out of his day to do this. You ready, Kurt?
Yeah, happy to do it, guys.
Great. So my first question for you is, you, as Utah State, you start off the season with Michigan State in East Lansing.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to you guys to have that opportunity to play on such a big-time stage and against such a big-time school? And what would it take for y'all to come out of East Lansing with a win?
That's a good question. I think for any non, like a school that's not in a huge conference, it's awesome to be able to play on a big stage where you've got a lot of eyes watching you, a lot of viewers on national TV. And I think us going into Michigan State, they're obviously a really good team. They had a really good record last year, played a lot of good teams. And I think, honestly, for us to go in there and win, you can't really focus on them. You just have to be able to execute your own game plan to perfection. We have a lot of guys returning that have experience playing in big games, and so we just have to be able to play a clean game and make some big plays, which is always what you have to do to win football games.
So your brother, when he played for Utah State, they went into Auburn, nearly came out with a victory. Now here you are on that same, not the same Utah State team, but same school, going into East Lansing to play Michigan State. How cool is it that you've both been able to kind of experience these big-time games in these big stadiums against these powerhouse schools?
No, it's awesome. It's always, it's an awesome experience. It's something you kind of have to take in, but you can't be overwhelmed by it. Like you talked about when Utah State went out to Auburn a few years ago after they'd won the national championship, you have to go in with like a mentality of your back's against the wall, nothing to lose. And hopefully you can do enough to come out with a win, because really no one expects you to win. And so you just got to go in there with your teammates ready to go.
So obviously Michigan State's probably the biggest name that Utah State will take on this season. But in terms of scheduling, when you look at your schedule here in 2018, what is the game that you guys look at and think, you know, this could be the breaking point, make or break game in our season? Is it the BYU game? Is it the Boise State game? Which game do you look at and think, if we can win this game, we could potentially finish, you know, 10-2, 9-3?
Yeah. Now, like you said, the BYU game, that's always an emotional game that everyone always looks forward to. All the in-state guys love that game because they kind of know the tradition that BYU has. And then, but more so in conference play is where I think we're focused, just because obviously the goal is to win the Mountain West, win the Mountain West Championship. And so, for example, last year we kind of struggled when we'd play against the better. We'd do good against the bad teams, but we'd struggle against the better team. And so kind of the make or break for us is if we can compete with the higher level teams in our conference. And because we've proven that we can win games, it's just getting over that hump of beating good teams.
Cool. So my question to you is, seeing you so many times out under the East High Friday Night Lights, I saw you do a lot of great things there. Now, what do you bring to the table for Utah State's receiving corps, and will we see you play this year?
Yeah, that's a good question. We've got a lot of good returning receivers up here, so there's a lot of competition. And so right now I'm just doing my best to make plays while we're in fall training camp. And I guess only time will tell to see how much of an impact I'll be able to have. But we've got a lot of good guys coming back, and I'm excited to try to make an impact in any way I can.
So you guys have lost from last season LaJuan Hunt and former quarterback Kent Myers, two of your top offensive weapons from last season. Going into this season, new quarterback, I assume, is going to be Jordan Love. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
So what do you look to him like? What is his ceiling and kind of how much does the success of Utah State depend on the success of new quarterback Jordan Love?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think a lot with our offense. We've had the same offensive coordinator for the last, this will be his second year up here. And Jordan Love going in, he played a few games last year. He started a few games towards the second half of the year. And just having a second year under the same offensive coordinator, he's got the offense down. And we're a big passing team. We pass the ball a lot. And he has a lot of freedom to do what he wants with the ball. And I'm excited to watch him play because he's a commander out on the field. He really knows how to get his guys and put them in the best position so that they can make plays. And he also just has a great arm and just makes it easy for the other guys because he can put the ball where he needs to when he needs to.
So the guy coaching up Jordan Love is going to be offensive coordinator David Yost. Can you describe him in one word? He's kind of been all over the place. He was at Missouri under Gary Finkel, was at, under Mike Leach at Washington State. He's kind of been all over, comes to Utah State, gets this offense going. Just describe him in one word.
In one word, I would say relaxed and simple. Maybe simple would be the better word.
Because relax isn't the first word that comes to mind when you think college football, especially college football coaches. Normally, they're pretty fiery guys, get all up in your face, cuss you out. But I guess you're saying simple is another word. What do you mean kind of by that?
So basically, his whole philosophy is just keep the offense as simple as possible and put players in positions to make plays. It's funny you talk about how college coaches are usually very fiery. He can be, but he likes to take a step back and analyze the game in a more relaxed sense, and that's when he coaches at his best. And that's when he gets his players to perform at their best, when they can relax and keep things simple and then just make plays, because that's what it all comes down to.
Kurt, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So I've talked to a lot of collegiate athletes, and there's always that one game on the schedule each year that they're most excited to play. You know, they have the most fire going into. Which game is that on the schedule for you? Who do you just want to beat?
I mean, for me, just because not having a ton of experience, I mean, I redshirted last year, not having a ton of experience playing against a lot of Mountain West teams, I've always grown up with watching BYU play. So for me, one of the more emotional games of the year would be the BYU game. That kind of gets me excited to see how things are going to go.
So, Kurt, do you guys play Nevada this year? Is Nevada on your schedule?
Honestly, would have to check on that. I can't even remember.
Let me look it up real quick.
Yeah.
So no Nevada for you guys this year. I was going to ask what it would mean to you to go up against and beat former high school player and teammate Corey Rush. But yeah, obviously you guys don't have the opportunity this year. But you guys were picked to finish fourth in the Mountain West Conference in your division, the Mountain Division, behind Boise State, Wyoming, Colorado State. Do you see that as kind of, you know, disrespectful to you guys as a program? I know you finished fourth last season, but coming into this year, hopefully improved, new quarterback. What do you see kind of like the ceiling being for this year's Utah State team?
I mean, as of the being picked fourth, I think anything we do, we have to earn. So, I mean, it doesn't really affect me thinking about that we're picked fourth, because those are a lot of good teams, good programs that have had success over the last 2 years. And kind of going, you kind of like going in as an underdog. You can, because people don't expect you to have all the success that hopefully we'll have this year. So, I mean, I think we have a really high ceiling with so many returning guys, a lot of guys with experience, a quarterback with experience who has a lot of potential to be really good. So I think always the goal is to win the conference. And so, and I think we have the weapons and the talent to do that.
Well, Kurt, thank you for jumping on kind of last minute. Best of luck to you this upcoming season at the Utah State Aggies. Me and Devin are going to try to make it up to a game this season. Which home game do you think, you know, me and Devin need to make it to?
Oh, anyone you can, man. They're fun up here.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I was up there for a semester. Loved my time. Loved going to football games up there.
Yeah.
But best of luck. Thanks for joining.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
That was Preston Curtis, Utah State wide receiver, former East High running back, and one of our buddies from high school. Stay tuned, and we'll preview the upcoming NFL season, as well as get to some segments, including Would You Rather. Welcome back to the Sports Take podcast. It's not the first of the month. However, we are almost 3 weeks away from the first game of the NFL season.
Oh, my goodness.
We got some preseason games going on. Catch you up to date with those right now, if I can get over to the tab in time. We have got the Philadelphia Eagles trailing the New England Patriots 27-7 at half. Washington Redskins are up 9-3 at half over the New York Jets. And the Green Bay Packers hold a 27-14 lead over the Steelers. But what would it be? What would the NFL season be if we weren't here to preview it for you? Give you all the teams to watch, the players to watch. Unfortunately, we're not going to do that this week. We're going to do a much more in-depth NFL preview episode coming up here in just a couple of weeks. However, we wanted to tease it a little bit. We wanted to give you our top five teams headed into the regular season for the NFL.
Baby.
So we're going to start off. We'll go similar to what we did last week with our college football teams. We're going to do the 1 through 5.
Well, 5 through 1.
We'll start at 5.
Hey, man. You can start with your number 5. You can start with
if I can find it. I'm looking for it right now.
Don't have to worry.
Yeah, I was listening to that last week. That was really funny.
Heck yeah.
Number 5.
I've got number 3.
Dang it, that's not good enough.
Hold on, I'll get it.
No, you better.
Stall a little bit.
Stall a little bit?
Give me some hot takes. Talk about your day. How was your day?
Well, my day was great. Let's talk about how my Mariners put a good old sweep on them Astros. How about that? 4-game sweep in 4 days. We went from 8 games back to 4 games back. That's a good couple days for me.
Not too shabby.
Yeah, but then we go turn around.
Good, not great.
Yeah, we lose 2 of 3. Against the A's. Ouch. But yeah. So we're feeling a little burnt.
You know, I've had a good week.
Well, how are your Yankees doing?
Not
hot.
They're not doing too hot.
Kind of trash.
They're kind of going under expectations.
They lost to the Mets on what, Monday?
Yeah, I know.
Lost to the Rays today.
Mm-hmm.
So luckily for you, however, we've got the sound ready.
Thank you. Yeah, get me out of this.
That's right.
So we'll start off with
number 5.
Alex.
Man, so this one was actually kind of hard for me. I was on the fence between a few teams. I didn't know how to really finalize it, but my number 5, rolling with the punches because I think their defense is going to be phenomenal. Offense is going to get better. I put the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Ooh. See, I went on a huge rant.
Yes,
I heard
did.
That rant.
Told you all about why the Jacksonville Jaguars at number 2 was ridiculous.
So I was going to put them at 2 just to really piss you off, but I didn't. Just know that.
Is there another rant from Hunter?
I know, right? Next. Next. Oh, come on, Hunter. Now you go quiet.
Next.
There it is.
Next. Devin, you're number 5.
My number 5, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
There you go. See, that was one of my teams over on the fence. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. Didn't know what to do.
Very realistic pick there. I feel like the Steelers have the offensive power.
Oh,
however,
they definitely do.
I was reading up that Big Ben got hurt. Does anyone know the timetable for that?
You know what?
Just was a concussion.
Yeah, I was going to say Big Ben gets hurt all the time, I feel like. He always has these... I think throughout his career, he's had multiple mini injuries.
Ben Roethlisberger didn't suffer a concussion, expected to resume football activities soon. Oh,
great.
See,
yeah, so it's
just
Ben,
a scare.
Just another.
Big Ben under the helm.
Just another swing. They got Le'Veon Bell in their backfield. Mm-hmm. They're going to be fantastic.
Antonio Brown
is the best wide receiver in the game.
Hey, have you guys seen.
Hey,
who? Tell me who.
Yeah.
Who? Oh,
who? Have you seen Julio these catches?
Jones? Julio Jones isn't better than Antonio Brown. I'm sorry.
Antonio Brown, that's the stupidest thing ever. Stud, man. He's a stud.
Oh my gosh. So could put get next.
Hunter, I know you're not a fan of the Steelers.
It's okay, Hunter. Sometimes you.
But Antonio Brown.
Shut up.
Terrell Pryor? I'm just kidding.
I'm about to jump over this table. Dude, this is not okay.
Paul Richardson?
Shut up. Go ahead. Paul Richardson is clutch call, but go ahead.
Next. My number five. Next. My number five is also the Pittsburgh Steelers. They would be higher if it weren't for the injury concerns around Big Ben. Also, Ben Roethlisberger struggled last season in particular against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Turned the ball over a lot. Turned the ball over against some college defenses. If he can reel back those turnovers, if he can stay healthy, if they can avoid all the outside distractions, because they've got some personable guys. Oh, how did I forget this? Odell Beckham Jr. Better than Antonio Brown.
Next.
He's flashier than Antonio Brown.
Stupid. Number four.
Devin, you're number four.
My number four, the Saints.
Ooh, okay. See, the Saints barely missed my top five.
Same.
They tell us why they're number four.
Taysom Hill. I'm just kidding.
my guy.
I got to show love to him, though. But they're number four because Drew Brees always gets them there. They have a pretty stacked defense.
They also had the defensive
Marcus
and
Williams.
Offensive rookie of the year.
Alvin Kamara, my guy. Yeah, reason I
who literally won me fantasy.
Yeah,
he literally
say,
won my
took
fantasy.
Took me to the championship in fantasy.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Lost to the team that had Todd Gurley.
He's coming back.
See, there you go.
Ingram's missing the first four games, but they have Kamara.
Yeah, they got Marshawn Lattimore there, cornerback.
Marcus Allen.
And with Drew Brees, with his history,
Drew Brees.
He knows how to win
Michael
in
Thomas.
Big stages. Manti Te'o.
Sneed.
Mark Ingram for the heavy lifting.
He's
for the heavy stuff.
Out four games, though.
Whatever, he's fine.
Out how
Drew
many
Brees
games?
Will get them their four wins.
Number four.
All right, Alex.
So my
Speaking
number four,
four
was the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers is back. He's healthy, and it's just Aaron Rodgers. They don't have Jordy Nelson, which I'm going to be interested to see how it goes. I don't think that's going to be a huge factor because I don't think Aaron Rodgers is as good as like Tom Brady, but they have the same.
Definitely not.
Same. They play the same way as far. They're able to spread the field no matter who they've got on their offense. They can
lost, like you said, Jordy Nelson.
Right.
They don't really have a receiver. They have Davante Adams.
Right.
Who can potentially fill that role. He also has injury concerns.
No, he definitely doesn't. But Montgomery, their running back. The good old 88
guy.
Do
they move him to wide receiver, or do they keep him at running back?
I think they should keep him at running back.
Because
Jamal
Williams
was listed
as the starter.
Right, right. No, I
agree
with that. But
backup.
I think he's you agreed that Jamal Williams has played better, and I read up on some of that stuff, and he has just been outstanding. I don't know.
Go Cougs.
I hope, you know what? I think Montgomery would be great in the slot, I think. You know, just one
He'd
of those guys.
He'd be a good slot receiver.
Yeah.
I think if I were the Packers, I would have him line up as a slot receiver.
Right.
Probably 70% of the time.
I agree. But I still feel like they need to keep rotating him a lot this preseason running back only because if Jamal Williams isn't as good as they hope him to be, this guy's still looking good.
I think Jamal Williams is going to be as good as you think he's
going
to be.
Well, we'll see. I just don't trust it very much.
Here's their top.
I wonder why.
Here's their top five receivers as far as. Now, they did sign Jimmy Graham.
They did sign Jimmy Graham.
That's a
good
one. That's a big
one.
Well,
I mean, but, yeah, and I think.
Also
I'm
lost
very,
Martellus Bennett.
Yeah, but I'm very happy for Jimmy Graham just because he's going to be used in that offense, right?
Yeah.
Because when
he's
in Seattle.
He was not used in Seattle.
No, he was not used at all because he was just a
for
blocking tight end.
Who knows why?
It's just because it blew. I don't know. Pete Carroll and those dudes are just dumb. I don't know.
Here are the top five receivers from the Green Bay Packers in the first half of their preseason game against the Steelers right now. Jake Kumerow.
Wow.
Lance Kendricks.
There it is.
Davante Adams. Mercedes Lewis. And Robert Tonyan.
Okay.
Ty Montgomery comes in at 6, Jimmy Graham 8th, Randall Cobb.
But granted, how long
got Randall Cobb?
But granted, how long did they play though? You have to think about that. A series.
Ty Montgomery 2 catches, Jimmy Graham 1 catch 8 yards, maybe. Only 1 target.
Maybe a series.
So Sean Kizer and Aaron Rodgers both have thrown for touchdowns.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, my number 4 is the Minnesota Vikings, best defense in the NFL.
Okay.
Even better than New Orleans Saints. Their receiving core, probably the best wide receiver duos.
It's stacked.
Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. Fantastic. Not to mention a stud at a tight end in Rudolph. Now you add I mean, just think about the fact that the Minnesota Vikings went to the NFC Championship game last year with Case Keenum.
That's true.
And quarterback. Now factor in that your quarterback is Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins was putting up numbers with nobody.
I'd be feeling pretty good
in Washington.
He threw some dimes in that first preseason game. Did you guys see that?
Did not.
I'd be feeling pretty good right now if I was a Minnesota fan. You know, just confidence.
Kirk Cousins
was
putting up numbers with a bunch of nobodies. Now he has probably the best wide receiver duo, a great tight end, running back by committee with the Florida State kid. I forget his name.
And
quite a few, actually.
Yeah.
Some good running backs last season.
Cooks.
Cooks,
Dalvin,
that's the guy.
Yeah. Dalvin Cooks. Yeah.
Mm, good job, yeah. Devin. But yeah, so Minnesota comes in at four. I think that they have a very good chance of winning the Super Bowl. Not making the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, Minnesota didn't make my top five. So
are you biased or are
mistake
you high?
On you, really?
No, they just didn't make it.
All right, well, then let's hear who did make your list.
Number three,
St. Louis Rams.
Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, that's right, Los Angeles Rams. I'm just so used to that. It's not even fair. But either way, they got Todd
Terrible.
Gurley.
Terrible.
Shut up.
They got Terrible.
They got Todd Gurley.
Terrible.
Fantastic. Jared Goff playing great.
That was a joke, by the way.
Number three.
Devin, I can't take you seriously after you said those St. Louis Rams.
Yeah, it's okay.
If you would have said San Diego Chargers and you mix that up, then I'm with you.
It's a whole different state, man.
It's okay. Just St. Louis.
St. Louis.
It's just what I... It's, come on, think about how many years I had that, and it's been like...
Yeah, but they've been in Los Angeles in the past.
Barely from when I was born. Come on, not that long.
Anyway, my number
three. Number three.
Thank you. My number three, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Defending Super Bowl champs.
Why they're not one or two, it's because of how hard it is for especially such a young quarterback to repeat as Super Bowl champions.
Yeah.
You know? He's not Tom Brady. He doesn't have all that experience under his belt.
No one can repeat if you're not Tom Brady.
Exactly is what I mean.
Shut up.
How many times did Russell Wilson repeat, Alex?
Almost two. Almost
twice. Except who did repeat instead?
Next.
Do we have an almost soundbite?
We should. It should just be a picture of Philip Rivers.
Nerd alert! Nerd
That's the closest alert. I had.
Okay.
Nerd alert!
But the Eagles come in at number three for me. They are still a very stacked team, but I just don't see them repeating.
Eagles also come in at my number three. There is questions regarding the actual return date for Carson Wentz. He says he'll be ready week one. The team hasn't officially said he'll be ready week one. Last season, I don't want to say that they got lucky, but Atlanta should have beat them round one. Minnesota laid an egg round two, and Tom Brady's defense was terrible in the Super Bowl. Not saying that they were lucky, because they obviously did great. They're Nick Foles, tremendous story. Offense was fantastic. Defense, wow. But I still think that, like you were saying, most teams, again, outside of the New England Patriots, 9 out of 10 teams take a step back the year following the Super Bowl. I think this will be that same situation for the Philadelphia Eagles. Still the top three. Still one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl. NFC is really, really tough. Like we were saying so far already.
Yeah.
The only AFC team that any of us have named has been Pittsburgh and Jacksonville. And they were at number five.
Yeah.
Every single one of our number four and number three picks have been NFC.
Yep.
And that's not even listing Cowboys, Falcons, Panthers. 49ers got a lot better. So NFC is a stacked division, mm-hmm. stacked conference.
For sure.
So
number two.
Alex, you're number two.
So my number two, rolling in with the Philadelphia Eagles. See, usually I'm the traditional guy where it's like you won the Super Bowl, you're coming in the season ranked number one, right? It's just kind of like how you would think. It's like whatever. I just agree with Devin on the same way. Wentz coming off a torn ACL, and just the fact that most teams really don't do well coming off of Super Bowl wins.
Well, I'm surprised you have him as high as number two.
I have him at number two just because, like I said, I'm usually a traditional guy and throw him at number one, but they're not number one. I just have kind of the same reasoning there. But you know what? Carson Wentz really is good, and I really hope he recovers well from this ACL. And
not only recover, but then return to what he was.
To his playing
before.
Level, exactly, because he was a stud, and he was balling out. So if he can really play just as well as he was last season, stay healthy and keep it going, then yeah, they could be number one. Like, that's why I have him at number two, because I believe in Carson Wentz, and I think they could do it. So they're going to come back, I think, do well. So they're at my number two.
Number two.
Devin, you're number two.
My number two, the Minnesota Vikings. Because for them to go as far as they did with Case Keenum last year at the helms, and only heaven knows why Denver threw so much money at him.
Who knows? He went to the NFC Championship.
Yeah, I'm just a little skeptical on that.
He's better than Paxton Lynch.
And much better than Brock Osweiler anyway.
And Trevor Siemian.
Yeah.
So really, it's an upgrade.
It's an upgrade, but I personally, if I was a GM, wouldn't put him as a franchise quarterback.
I mean, it is a lot of money to give a guy based off of one good season, right, where he was arguably like the least talented, like, position player.
Right. But with the receiving core he has, and the fact that that Minnesota team was already loaded before Kirk Cousins got there, just like we talked about, I think they are one of the two heavy favorites to win the Super Bowl.
I agree. They're definitely up there, but
no. Yeah, I'm definitely with you. I think Vikings, like I was saying, heavy, heavy Super Bowl contenders.
This is breaking news.
Not really breaking news. I just want to let you know the Patriots are now up 34-7. Brian Hoyer came in, one completion, one touchdown. That's all I have to say.
Next.
Number two.
My number two team, speaking of the New England Patriots, is the New England Patriots. Went to the Super Bowl for the third straight time. Lost some playmakers. Yes, they lost Danny Amendola, Deion Lewis, Malcolm Butler, Brandon Cooks. Those are some key guys. However, there's only three guys that I need to know are on the New England Patriots for me to have them in my top two each and every year. That is Rob Gronkowski, Bill Belichick, and Tom Brady. If the New England Patriots have Rob Gronkowski, Tom Brady, and Bill Belichick, they're a top two, top three team in the entire NFL. That is the best tight end in the NFL right now. The best probably target, like pure target. Like obviously Julio Jones, Odell Beckham Jr., Antonio Brown, those guys are the best receivers.
Right.
But if you are if you need 8 yards and your choice is Julio Jones or Rob Gronkowski, who are you picking?
Well, I'm totally picking Rob Gronkowski.
Gronkowski.
And
Julio's not an 8 yard receiver. He's that deep ball guy.
Well, right, but Gronkowski is deep threat too.
Oh, totally. True. Deep threat. But what I'd be interested to see, I want to see yards after catch. Or, no, not that. Yards after contact. Because I think Rob Gronkowski would be through the roof in that stat compared to any other wide receiver, tight end,
anything who catches the ball.
It's because you think about it, if you want need 8 yards, you're going to jump it to Gronk with four, and he's going to get you that extra nine.
That's why he gets hurt so much. Because he goes at you on full force.
But he still stays up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should be
good. He's a player.
Then, of course, you have the best coach and the best quarterback in NFL history.
Yeah.
So, I mean, don't need to say more. I do want to say, put on record, I think Braxton Berrios is going to be the third leading receiver on the New England Patriots.
Okay.
Here you go. There it is. Rookie, seventh round pick, I think, out of Miami. Sixth or seventh round pick out of Miami. Braxton Berrios, third leading receiver on this Patriots team, behind Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman.
All right.
Number one.
Devin, you're number one.
My number one, just basically going through history and just the fact that you can never count them out to be heavy Super Bowl contenders, the New England Patriots are my number one. I know a lot of people would argue with me with that, but
I don't think anyone really would argue.
But just with the other stacked teams in the top five.
I mean, I agree wholeheartedly, Devin.
Hunter, I know you're just a huge Patriots fan, and that's why you're saying that. And you know, I'm not the biggest Patriots fan, but
this guy, he's a smart
I got to
guy.
Give credit where credit's due. The Patriots are, to me, the best team in the NFL.
Number one.
Alex.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of the same side here. Everyone knows I am... I freaking hate the Patriots just so much.
I'm with you on that, bro. Don't worry.
But
wow,
again,
what a team.
Give credit where credit is due.
What a franchise.
We just spoke about Gronkowski, the playmaker that he is. You've got Tom Brady, just phenomenal, Hall of Fame, best of the best. Then you got Belichick, freaking mastermind. And granted, it's not hard to be a mastermind when you've got Tom Brady and Gronkowski on your squad. So it's never a bad thing. So yeah, there you go.
Granted,
Patriots number one.
I think we're throwing out our BYU friend Kyle Van Noy.
My guy, Kyle Van Noy.
Number one.
So I think it's ironic that the only Patriots fan in this room and the one wearing the Patriots hat currently is the only one that didn't choose the New England Patriots as their number one team. I know, but I've got to give it right now to the team that I think made the biggest splash in the offseason and the most talented team heading into the season, which is the Los Angeles Rams. They've got Jared Goff, who took a tremendous step forward from his rookie to his sophomore year.
For sure.
You have the most talented running back in the NFL, Todd Gurley. You have a heck of a wide receiving core. Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods. Now you add Brandon Cooks to that. Should be amazing wide receiving group. And then defensively, you added Micah Peters, Aqib Talib, Ndamukong Suh to an already stacked defense that had Mo Alexander and
Darnold.
Aaron Donald. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can't really argue that the Los Angeles Rams aren't the most talented team going into the season.
Oh, for sure.
However, we've seen in the past, we saw the Philadelphia Eagles dream team in 2012 or whatever it was, 2011, where you added Nnamdi Asamoah, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, all these playmakers, Michael Vick, LeSean McCoy, and failed to make the playoffs.
Yep.
So
who knows?
Most talented offseason winners doesn't always translate to being the best team in the NFL. But without seeing any regular season time yet, I've got to put Los Angeles as my number one team.
Okay. They have a good young coach, too.
Yeah, I didn't even mention Coach McVay. Sean McVay.
Yeah.
Excellent coach.
Oh, 100%.
Probably him Genius. And Kyle Shanahan, the two best young coaches in the NFL.
Oh, for sure. Now, I got a quick question for you, Hunter.
Let's hear it.
Because in that top five, did you even have the Philadelphia Eagles?
Yeah, I had them at my number three.
Number three, okay. So
I had number one was Rams, number two was Pats, number three was Eagles, number four Vikings, number five Pittsburgh. So okay. I did not have Packers, Jags, or New Orleans.
Where did you have the Eagles, Devin?
You had them at three as well.
Three?
So you had them at two.
I had them at two. So what was the biggest thing, I guess, for you to have them drop down? Like, what is it? What was the key factor to have them Eagles drop down?
Hard to repeat.
Yeah, just how hard it is to repeat. Normally, teams coming off a Super Bowl, just a Super Bowl appearance, normally take a step back
and
a little bit.
And the questionable health of Carson Wentz as well.
Carson Wentz coming off an ACL injury.
Right.
Nick Foles, I think if Nick Foles did great in the playoffs, but a full season of Nick Foles is going to be more telling than a three-game sample size from Nick
right.
Foles.
So.
Yeah, totally agree with you guys on that one.
All right. Well, there it is. So, order our top five is for Alex: Pats, Eagles, Rams, Packers, Jaguars. For Devin: Pats, Vikings, Eagles, Saints, Steelers. And for me: Rams, Pats, Eagles, Vikings, Steelers.
There you go.
So these might change, just like we do a top. We're going to do a top four, and
in college football, we'll give you our playoff if it was that week or college football playoff.
We'll give you our top five NFL teams 100%. Each and every week.
Yep.
So we're going to take a quick break. However, up on the other side, we're going to play some Would You Rather.
Ooh.
And also debate some college football uniforms after the release of the new Oregon Ducks uniforms, looking real good.
Oh, yeah.
So you stay tuned for that. You won't want to miss it. What's up, guys? I have some unfortunate news for you. We recorded our top threes, and we recorded our Would You Rather, and then the entire software just quit on us. So, unfortunately for you guys, you're not going to be able to hear our top three college football uniforms. You're not going to hear a Would You Rather. Just know that Devin chose to be in the Kardashian family over the Ball family. Just know we'd all rather start at Temple University over Ohio State University. And just know that Ohio State has the best uniforms in all of college football. Also, talked about the return of the Pro Combat uniforms. We'll do this again next week. We'll close out this segment, same style of stuff. We'll do a top three again next week. We will do a would you rather next week again. This is on me. My bad, guys. Unfortunately, we lost a lot of good content out there today. Alex, come hop on this mic right here. Mic number two. Give a little plug again for what's coming up in the coming weeks.
Yeah, guys. We got Views from the Hill, strictly University of Utah podcast. We're getting basketball, football, all the good stuff. It's going to be exciting, guys. It's going to be good.
And not Alex, Devin, why don't you give a little plug for another project coming up here soon?
We will be bringing back Jazzed Up on Utah.
So Devin's going to take the lead on the Jazzed Up on Utah podcast. We did like two or three episodes last season. Devin's taking control of that. We're going to get a lot of good content out to you guys. So keep an eye out for those two podcasts coming up quickly. Also, 2 weeks from today, University of Utah takes on the Weber State Wildcats. We are going to be there. Keep a lookout for us on our tailgating sites. We might be out there giving some Utah swag away to some loyal listeners. So be on the lookout. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening, guys. Sorry again. Peace.
I don't like them. In fact, I hate them. I hate everything about them. I hate their program. I hate their fans. I hate everything.
Yeah. You know what? I like the players. No diggity, no doubt. Play on, play at. Play on, play at. Yo, Dre, drop the verse.
It's going down, fades to Black Street. The homies got at me, collab creations. Bump like agony, no doubt. I put it down, never slouch. As long as my credit can vouch, a dog couldn't catch me. Tell me who could stop with Dre making moves, attracting honeys like a magnet. Giving them orgasms with my mellow accent. Still moving this flavor with the homies Black Street and Teddy, the original Rough Shakers.
Shutting it down, good lord. Baby got them open all over town. Strictly bitch, you don't play around. Cover much grounds, got game by the time.